the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis. Each week, Joan brings you news from inside the Vatican and the Church around the world, as well as interviews and answers to your questions. Now, here's the host of Vatican Insider, Joan Lewis.
Welcome to a new edition of Vatican Insider. As usual, I start by telling you about my guest in the interview segment. I had the great joy recently of interviewing two dear friends, a dynamic duo, Catherine Wiley and Marilyn Henry, as we talk about the first World Day of Grandparents and the Elderly. Catherine founded the Catholic Grandparents Association in the UK, and Marilyn Henry coordinates CGA in the US. Grandmothers themselves, they tell us the riveting tale of how CGA came about and how a lot of work by Catherine over 12 years led to this brand new World Day. And now the news headlines of the past week. Because the Holy Father is still convalescing from his July 4th surgery, it was fairly quiet in the Vatican this week, except for Sunday's Mass for the first World Day of Grandparents and the Elderly. In addition, July for Pope Francis is traditionally the month in which he takes a kind of working vacation, remaining in the Vatican but reducing public appearances to the Sunday Angelus. Let's look at the news stories now. Sunday, July 25th. As the Church marked the first World Day of Grandparents and the Elderly, Archbishop Rino Fisichella celebrated Mass in the Basilica of St. Peter, standing in for Pope Francis, convalescing from surgery. He read the homily prepared by Pope Francis, in which the Pope reflected on the day's Gospel account of Jesus' miraculous feeding of the 5,000 with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He spoke of 3 moments in that story, saying they can be summed up in 3 verbs, to see, to share, to preserve. To see. We begin with the gaze of Jesus, who is neither indifferent nor too busy to see the hunger felt by weary humanity. Instead, he is concerned for everyone and understands the needs of each person. Our grandparents look on us the same way. Their love helped us to grow, and we, in turn, are called to share our love and attention. To share. Francis pointed out that Jesus fed the people with loaves and fish shared by a young person. At the heart of the miracle, we find a young person willing to share what he had. Today, we need a new covenant between young and old. We need to share the treasure of life, to dream together, to overcome conflicts between generations, and prepare a future together. To preserve. Reflecting on Jesus' instruction to gather up the fragments of bread after the miracle, Francis said this reveals the heart of God, who is concerned that nothing be lost, not even a fragment. This is especially true of people, he said, who must never be discarded. We need to make this prophetic summons heard among ourselves and in our world. Gather, preserve with care, protect. Protect our grandparents as they protected us as we grew. Now at the conclusion of Sunday's Mass, young people offered flowers to the elderly who were present in the Basilica for the Mass. Pope Francis, while not presiding the Mass for this World Day, did appear at the window of his study overlooking St. Peter's Square to pray the noon Angelus with the faithful gathered there. After the Marian prayer, he spoke of the just-concluded Mass for the first World Day of Grandparents and the Elderly. He called on everyone to applaud all grandparents, which they did. He said grandparents and grandchildren, young and old, together show the beautiful face of the Church and the covenant between the generations. He invited everyone to celebrate this day, even by visiting grandparents and the elderly, those who are alone, and to share the message inspired by Jesus' promise, "I am with you always." The Holy Father also prayed for the victims of flash floods in the city of Zhengzhou, the capital of China's Henan province. "I pray for the victims and their families and express my sympathy and solidarity with all those suffering from this calamity." Chinese state television reported more than 3 million citizens affected by the torrential rains and 376,000 evacuated. The Pope then recalled the opening on Friday, July 24th of the Tokyo Olympics. "In this time of pandemic, may these games be a sign of hope, a sign of universal brotherhood marked by a healthy spirit of competition. God bless the organizers, the athletes, and all those who collaborate for this great festival of sport." Monday, July 26th. Pope Francis sent a message to United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres on the occasion of the July 26 to 28 UN pre-summit on food systems taking place in Rome. He noted the pandemic has shown us the systemic injustices that undermine our unity as a human family. He denounced the scandal of hunger in a world that produces enough food for all people, saying it is a crime that violates basic human rights. Francis said it's not enough to produce food. What is also needed is a new mindset and a new holistic approach and to design food systems that protect the earth and keep the dignity of the human person at the center. Tuesday, July 27th. In a message to participants in the 12th Annual Meeting of Catholic Communicators, organized by the Brazilian Bishops' Conference, Francis said Christians are called to be a sign of hope and of solidarity in Brazilian society, inspired by their faith and confiding that the risen Lord accompanies his disciples until the end of time. Christian communicators said the Pope should be on the front line in promoting a communication that builds bridges, seeks dialogue, and overcomes ideological contradictions. Also Tuesday, an unprecedented trial began in the Vatican in which 10 people, including a cardinal, a monsignor, 7 lay men, and 1 woman, have been charged with committing financial crimes against the Holy See. Cardinal Angelo Becciu is the first cardinal to be tried by the Tribunal of Vatican City State since Pope Francis changed the rules to allow it last April. The charges include fraud, embezzlement, corruption, extortion, money laundering, abuse of office, and forgery. The first hearing was adjourned after nearly 7 hours. It will resume October 5th. Friday, July 30th. Pope Francis sent a telegram of condolences for the death on Thursday in Rome of French Jesuit Cardinal Albert Vanhoix. Vanhoix had turned 98 on July 24th. An eminent biblical scholar, the cardinal was rector emeritus of the Pontifical Biblical Institute and former secretary of the Pontifical Biblical Commission. He led the 2008 Lenten retreat for the Curia. The cardinal's funeral in St. Peter's Basilica is Saturday, July 31st. Well, those are the news highlights of the past week, but now stay tuned to a fascinating conversation with Catherine Wiley, founder of Catholic Grandparents Association, and Marilyn Henry, who coordinates CGA activities in the United States.
He was a Jesuit, a cardinal, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Robert Bellarmine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, including helping to draft 2 important catechisms that defended church teachings during the Protestant Revolt. Pope Clement VIII named Bellarmine a cardinal because, as the Pope put it, Bellarmine had not his equal for learning.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Wings is the weekly newsletter that's packed with program info, features, and updates of all that's going on at the Global Catholic Network. Just go to ewtn.com/wings, fill out your name and email address, and you'll start getting your wings every week. When you get yours, send it to all your friends, and they can send it to their friends, and pretty soon we're covering the whole world with the good news about EWTN. Wings, the weekly newsletter from EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider. Here's Joan Lewis.
Well, I want to welcome my listeners to Vatican Insider to one of the most special editions you are ever going to hear, because I am sitting in my Rome office with 2 amazing people, but beyond being amazing, I'm blessed to have them as my friends. And I'm talking about Catherine Wiley, who founded the Catholic Grandparents Association, our focus this weekend. And I'm talking about Marilyn Henry, and she is head of the U.S. offices of Catholic Grandparents Association. You really coordinate the CGA in the United States. Now, to add to their credentials, both are grandmothers. We wouldn't expect anything else, right? But I really wish there's 2 other people I'd love to bring into this conversation, and that is their amazing spouses. And they are waiting patiently in another room as we speak. So now, Catherine and Marilyn and I met last year. We met 2020. And just before COVID struck the entire known world, they were in Rome for the Richness of Many Years of Life conference organized by the Dicastery for Laity, Family, and Life. It was a conference that brought together 550 participants from 60 countries. So I now want to say, Catherine and Marilyn, welcome back to Rome.
Oh, thank you so much, Joan, and we're so excited. We're so excited to be here on this very special occasion.
Absolutely, an amazing weekend. And Marilyn,
yes,
welcome.
Yes, thank you so much, Joan, for offering to hear our story and hear our excitement about this, about the World Day. We're so excited to be here.
But it's one of the best stories of the church, which is why I love it. Now, you are in Rome for this past weekend's amazing event, the first ever World Day for Grandparents and the Elderly. And as my listeners already know, Pope Francis loves the elderly. And from the beginning of his pontificate and on many occasions, he's emphasized their indispensable role in dialogue with young people, in the transmission of the faith, and in young people's rediscovery of their own roots. He's asked the elderly to become protagonists of our lives and, quote, not to pull the oars back into the boat. So, Catherine, you, as we're about to hear, are really the catalyst for this event. It was a dream of yours years ago, and you never, what I just said, pulled the oars back into the boat. So, first of all, what prompted you to found the Catholic Grandparents Association?
Oh, Joan, that's such a good story. The truth is, I really don't know exactly what prompted me, whether it was... I really don't know the complete answer to that, but I certainly know what started it. I live in England in a little shrine village called Walsingham, which is known as the Nazareth of England. And there's a small shrine where for 1,000 years pilgrims have come to give thanks and to ask for gifts for healings and to give thanks, as I say. And I've lived there for over 40 years. So pilgrimages were nothing new to me. I've seen the pilgrims come and go. And I'm Irish. I'm an Irish grandmother with 10 grandchildren. And I live very close to the Shrine of Our Lady of Knock in Ireland. So again, shrines of Our Lady is something that sort of bred in me. And I was at the shrine in Walsingham on Our Lady's birthday on the 8th of September. And I was honestly just wondering what I would give for her birthday. What did Jesus give her? What would Joseph have made for her? What would she get? And thinking, what could you give her, this woman who had everything? And the idea came that a pilgrimage, a simple pilgrimage, to honor her mother and father, St. Joachim and St. Anne, the grandparents of Jesus,
exactly,
would totally delight her. And that was it. I then discovered that there wasn't one grandparents pilgrimage in the whole world. So we started the first grandparents pilgrimage. And from that point on, it really had a life of its own. It was sort of organic in a way. We then took it to Ireland, to the Shrine of Our Lady of Knock. And also, I'm very fortunate because we also live part of the year in Palm Beach. So the third place was Palm Beach with Bishop Barbarito.
Oh, wow.
And so from that very small, simple beginning, the Catholic Grandparents Association grew out of the first pilgrimage. And we're in now a worldwide outreach within over 63 countries.
Absolutely.
So this weekend it's just 20 years of dreams and prayers and hopes by so many people.
Exactly. And we're going to look at the whole, Itra, how you even got the idea and passed it on for a World Day. So now, Marilyn, how did the two of you meet?
Yes, we met because of a brochure that Catherine left in the cathedral in London. My husband and I took a trip to England and visited the cathedral, and I was wandering around in the back, and I found a brochure that said, "Did you know Jesus had grandparents?" I picked it up, and I sort of studied it, and I thought, wait a minute. I knew that St. Anne was Mary's mother, and my middle name is Anne, so she was very, very important to me, but I never thought of her as being Jesus's grandmother. So I brought the brochure back to my home in Texas at my parish, and I spoke to our pastor and then to parish council and spoke to Catherine and fell in love with the idea, felt called to it, and began a ministry in our parish.
That is such a wonderful story, and I think really, if I were to ask my listeners to write in to me and say, did you really think about it? Did you know that Jesus had grandparents. Of course, he physically would have had to grandparents. He had parents. But anyway, I think the grandparents is underestimated. So this was such a fantastic idea to promote not only knowledge of Jesus' grandparents, but the ties all of us have had or should have, certainly, be the ties that should exist between parents, grandparents, and children. So I went on the website, which I'd been on before. This was not my first time. But your website, which is marvelous, it tells about grandparents. It tells us they are helping to pass on the faith and keep prayer at the heart of family life. And it was just my impression going through the website, which, by the way, is www.CatholicGrandparentsAssociation.org. And, by the way, it welcomes us with a beautiful piece of art featuring Joachim and Anne, and then Joseph and Mary and Jesus. So we have the different generations. But is that more or less the motto, those words, helping to pass on the faith and keep prayer at the heart of family life?
Absolutely, Joan. It's the only purpose that we exist. And it's very interesting for this first World Day of Prayer for Grandparents, because the theme that our Holy Father has chosen, I am always with you.
Yes.
You know, if you had to choose another mission statement for the Catholic Grandparents Association, that would be it. And it was so unbelievably touching yesterday when we heard Pope Francis give his homily and talk about I am with you always and the three S's. There were three verbs anyhow. There were see, share, and safeguard.
That's right.
And
yes.
I was interested because they were action words. Imagine Pope Francis having that sort of intimate knowledge of grandparents. He must have been so close to his own grandparents.
Oh, and he has actually spoken about a grandmother of his, so we do know that. And his words, by the way, when he can, in a homily or some kind of speech, he will have a triple theme. That is something the Jesuits are very good about. And usually that triple theme are action words, just as you said. You know,
it's amazing.
Share and guard. Yes,
they and he's. It's just the Pope Francis gets grandparents. That's all I can say. He understands us and he gets us. And those three words, actually, I was very tearful reading them because they reminded me so much. I only knew one grandfather, but they really reminded me so much of the touch of the hands, the seeing, the look that could calm you down. You know, when you were in trouble with your parents or whatever, that look, that gaze that just told you, it's all right, I understand, it's all right.
Exactly, because somehow grandma and grandpa, maybe grandma more because they were always at home when you went to visit, but grandma and grandpa could hold you in their laps, they could hug you, they could give you that little kiss when your eyes were tearing up from some childhood disaster. And not that you didn't get the same thing from your parents, but the grandparents even seem to have more time to spend.
Well, I've always thought that there is a unique relationship between grandparents and grandchildren. And very often, you have a better relationship with your grandchildren than you ever had with your own children. And God forgive me, but I find that now with my children, my grandchildren, there, I have more time.
Sure.
I have more understanding. And again, going back to the seek, the safe, and the safeguard, I can just pat them on the hand or give them that look, and I know that it reassures them. And I know that when things go wrong at home, and again, this refers back to what Pope Francis said, they often have a stay over with me when things go bad at home and they want a break. You know, so that touch, that love, that feel that the generations bring together is completely unique.
Oh, exactly. And you know, Marilyn, I don't know if it's been your experience, but I remember my own mom, as the grandchildren were coming into her life, you know, she just sometimes couldn't get over the way that had the closeness and everything. And she realized one day it's because her kids were these children's parents. They were the disciplinarian. But grandparents don't have to be disciplined. They can be, but they don't have to be the disciplinarians. And that seems to make a difference in relationships.
Exactly. And even when we do feel like we need to discipline, we do it in a much more gentle way because we've learned the ways that really work and the ways that really touch you and the ways that will make a difference in their lives. And we lead by example, too, the way that we live our lives and the way that we conduct ourselves and the way the our homes look. We become a domestic church, so they know that when they come into your house, they feel that welcoming. They feel your heart and your hands and your eyes. They feel everything through all those emotions that you show them and feel that love through that.
Exactly. And I just remember the treasured moments of a weekend spent with Grandma. And then if Grandma came to stay with us, all four of us kids had our own bedrooms. My sister was the only one that had her own bathroom. So she had to give up, so to speak, her room when Grandma came, so she'd have her own. And then my sister would move in with me. But how much did we love Grandma? That was not seen as a sacrifice. It was like, oh my gosh, Grandma's coming this weekend. And there was always something, and the stories. Because this is one thing I would want to say to my great nieces and nephews, tell stories to your children. Have them ask you, have them ask Grandma and Grandpa about their roots. I sat down one day, actually a year before my mom died, and I used books that her grandchildren had given to her. And you're supposed to fill in the blanks, your name and age and where you were born and what toys you played with as a child and what did you wear, did you have uniforms at school, 1,000 questions. And it was fascinating because obviously somebody born in 1913 is a very different figurehead to somebody who's asking that question in 1993 or in the year 2000. So I urge people, and I'm sure the two of you have done this, you know, appreciate, and this is what the Pope said, you know, if you want to even quote any of his words, to not only just appreciate them, but, you know, when was the last time, if you're physically in the same town, when was the last time you went to visit grandparents? And if you're not in the same town today, we have all kinds of media. The two of you are well-versed in it, and I think a lot of grandparents are well-versed in it, so... Oh, we did forget to say, at the Mass yesterday for this First World Day for grandparents and the elderly, the Holy Father, of course, had surgery on July 4th, so he did not exert himself. He is still convalescing in the Santa Marta residence. So Archbishop Rino Fisichella, who heads the Pontifical Council for Promoting the New Evangelization, he did preside at Mass, and he read the Pope's homily. But the Pope did appear for 10 or whatever minutes it was, 12 minutes for the Angelus. So at least it was fun to see him that way. Now, let's go right to this World Day, the genesis of it. It really comes from the two of you and Marilyn.
From this beautiful lady right here.
I was just getting, from Catherine, I think.
This force of nature and visionary.
Oh, no, if you could plug Catherine in, you would not have an electric bill, let me tell you right now. But let's look at the genesis and the people that you've met in the Vatican, how this developed, how you've shared ideas, etc.
Joan, thank you very much for asking me that question, because the one person that I really, really wanted to speak to today, and I couldn't get my phone connected, was to a man called Monsignor Carlos Simon, who was the undersecretary then to, I think, Cardinal Antonelli. We were really going back now a long time. Very first meeting for grandparents occurred after I went to the Vatican, when we asked Pope Benedict to write a prayer for grandparents. Because honestly, I had become a grandparent. I'm a cradle Catholic, Irish, from the cradle to the grave, and I'd never considered that my children wouldn't continue with the faith, that they wouldn't baptize my grandchildren. It never occurred to me.
Of course.
And so when I became a grandparent, my faith really kicked in. The need to practice my faith with my grandchildren, to show them the love that I'd learned from Jesus, from the generations before me, really, really kicked in. And that's probably the easiest way of saying it. So I wrote to Pope Benedict and asked him to write a prayer. And I didn't get a reply. Now, Joan, this sounds ridiculous. But after three letters, I thought, this is ridiculous. Why isn't the Pope answering?
Is the Pope really that busy?
So I went, I found out where the Dicastery for Marriage and Family was, and I went and paid a visit. And we had just had the first two pilgrimages for grandparents in Ireland and in Knock, and they had been incredible successes. And listening to the grandparents and their needs, which were exactly like mine, the fears that they were failing, that they didn't have the courage or the confidence, looking at the church situation and just lacking in confidence. I thought, well, we just have to do something. And I honestly couldn't find a prayer. So I went to Vatican and it knocked on the door, and I was met by a father called Father Lalonde. And to cut a very long story short, I gave him the poster for the pilgrimage. I showed him the three letters I'd written to the Pope. I explained I didn't know why I hadn't an answer. Maybe I was sending it to the wrong place. And I showed him the prayers that the grandchildren of Ireland were writing for their grandparents to honour them and to thank them, which was very holistic. It involved the school and the family and the church. I thought he thought I was mad. And then he gave me a cup of coffee from a vending machine. This doesn't sound very grand for the Vatican. And I said, look, I'm only here because I honestly believe that if the Pope sees the request to write the prayer for grandparents, he will. He will. And so I gave him the three articles and I went away. And almost immediately I got a reply from the Cardinal saying what a wonderful, wonderful initiative this was and how much devotion he had himself to St. Anne and how he didn't know if the Pope would ever write the prayer, but he would certainly ensure that he saw the prayer. And I knew that if he ever saw it, he would write it.
Wow.
Then shortly thereafter, they held the very first meeting for grandparents in Rome. And they invited me as a... I think the Cardinal invited me because he was intrigued.
He had studied what, you know, your organization, the pilgrimages, what they had done, and everything was so effective. It was so positive.
I think he saw that the idea... He could see way beyond me.
Yeah.
He was a wise, wise man.
Well, now that you're on the edge of your seat in this riveting tale told by Catherine Wiley and Marilyn Henry of how the first World Day of Grandparents and the Elderly came about, I have to tell you that's all the time we have this week. But come back next week as Catherine, who founded the Catholic Grandparents Association in the UK, and Marilyn Henry, who coordinates CGA in the US, tell us a lot more.
For more information on these stories, or to check out Joan's blog and to ask her a question, go to EWTN.com. That's EWTN.com. Thanks for listening to Vatican Insider on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.